Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on what is May 27th, 2021. I hope all of you are doing well out there. I must say, when it comes to the weather here in Michigan, you know, it's a little bit chilly today, isn't it? It really is. I mean, you know, we saw, what, like, temperatures in the 80s pretty much throughout the weekend, last weekend. But, you know, today we're going to have highs in, what, the 60s, 65 to be exact. Friday's high, folks, brace yourself, is just going to be 48 degrees. What is going on? Can we please, 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 Michigan weather, be kind to us. It's about to be June. Highs of 48 degrees. I mean, it's not October. Please. Oh, boy. And then for Memorial Day weekend, I mean, temperatures will start to go back up. 61 will be the high on Saturday. Still not really hot. A bit chilly there. Sunday, we get 8 more degrees better at 69 degrees. Memorial Day is going to be 71. So we're going to get warmer. But, dude, I mean, I had my air on last night, my AC on, I should say, and I woke up in the middle of the night just absolutely freezing. Then I looked at my phone and saw that the temperature was like, you know, in the low 50s, high 40s. So this weather's sneaky right now. Don't go outside, you know, rocking swimwear these next 2 days, or else you may have the sniffles, all right? but thanks so much for allowing us here at Current Sports to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. A lot I want to get to today. A lot I want to get to. A lot of national stories that have some intrigue and are sparking up a ton of discussion. I want to address fans, which we are just now getting to the point where we're seeing more and more fans attend sporting events. Because of the pandemic, we saw a year in which fans were either watching sports at home or didn't have sports at all, right? We're just now getting into that groove of seeing sports return regularly in our lives. And we're getting to that point now where we can attend sporting events. You know, I highlighted on yesterday's show how many sporting venues out there are allowing or will be allowing very soon full capacity at sporting venues. It's becoming a thing now, right? Because people are getting vaccinated, social distancing has worked out well for us, and our COVID numbers look good right now. But with that comes the idiotic fans. The idiotic fan, I should say, that pops up every now and again, who doesn't know how to conduct him or herself at a sporting event. How many times have we seen it? We've seen it a lot more so, I believe, in basketball than any other sport, because you are so close to the action when it comes to the sport of basketball. I mean, you're right there. You know, these dudes aren't wearing a bunch of equipment, so you can see their faces. There is this personal connection that you have. You're just feet away, depending on where you're sitting on the basketball court. And depending on what you yell, I mean, they can hear it right there. I mean, they know what you're saying. You're right there. I mean, just look at Madison Square Garden last night. Perfect example. Last night, Madison Square Garden, just a crazy atmosphere, one of the craziest atmospheres in all of sports. Great to see the Knicks back in the playoffs because, boy, oh, boy, that atmosphere is just something to behold in itself. But you got Trae Young sitting there on the sidelines trying to take the ball out as 50 Cent, who has a front row ticket, 50 Cent, famed rapper 50 Cent, who has a front row ticket, is talking trash right in the ear of the Atlanta Hawks point guard in Trae Young. Where else can you get that kind of interaction, right, in the world of North American professional sports? And then last night, also, something happened with the fan. You know, I have no problem with 50 Cent doing that. Look, you paid your money for those seats. That's you know, what players have to expect when you know, you got celebrities or any fan sitting front row when you're taking the basketball out and you're the opposition. That happens. But Russell Westbrook, who exited the Washington Wizards game last night with some kind of injury as they fell to the Philadelphia 76ers, on his way to the tunnel, an idiotic fan decided to dump popcorn on the head of Russell Westbrook. That is just simply uncalled for. That's what I mean by the idiotic fan. The fan who takes it way too far. The fan who does not know how to conduct himself like a respectable citizen of our nation. That's what I want to touch upon. All right? And also some interesting comments, an interesting statement, I should say, put on the social media page of famed women's tennis star. She is a superstar now. I mean, Naomi Osaka is a household name in the world of women's tennis. I feel like her name now is right up there with Serena Williams in terms of recognition. And she's on commercials left and right. You know, her relationship with Corday, famed hip-hop artist, is very well documented. They had a spread in GQ magazine. Naomi Osaka is everywhere. She has decided to take a stand in order to make sure that her mental health is in a better place. But I don't know if I fully agree with this stand. I'll explain in our headliners, and I'll have further dialogue on that in segment B. So stick around for that. And also, very intriguing developments in the world of collegiate sports, as college athletes have now urged and pushed to unionize. And it looks as though we may be seeing that very, very soon. So, a lot to get to, folks. A lot to get to. If you would like to be a part of today's current sports, you guys know that you can call in and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And you know what? One of our dear listeners, Alex, he actually, right before I hit the air today, he actually called in and left a voicemail giving his thoughts on the NBA playoffs. Alex, I'll get to your voicemail later on this hour. Thank you so much, brother. Love your listenership. Alex is a longtime listener, and he goes back to the days of, you know, when we used to, pre-pandemic, when we used to stream the show on Facebook Live on WKAR News, our Facebook page at WKAR News. And Alex will watch every day on our Facebook Live page, along with listeners like, you know, Ben and Stephanie and Steven, Chris, Austin. You know, the Facebook fam is what I call them, all right? The current sports Facebook fam. So Alex left a voicemail today. We'll get to that later on this hour. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, May 27th, 2021. Okay, I want to start here and give you all an update concerning the softball classic, folks. Holt scored 3 runs in the 5th inning, 2 in the 6th, trailing 9-6, 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th to force extra innings. Holt ended up rallying late to get the dub. This was just an unbelievable game to witness if you were at Rainey Park, I'm sure. The Rams would finish off the comeback when Eva Curtis delivered the game-winning RBI on a sac fly to score Katie Lackman in the bottom of the 8th to give them a stunning 10-9 win at Rainey Park. How incredible is that? That is one incredible comeback. Shout out to the Holt Rams softball team. The Rams will now play Eaton Rapids in the championship game, which will take place at 6 p.m. tomorrow night at Rainey Park. That's going to be a great one, I already know. Eaton Rapids ended up beating Grand Ledge 7-1 to advance to the title game. So Friday's championship game, it's very familiar territory for Eaton Rapids. The Greyhounds are the 3-time defending champions. So the Comets certainly have their work cut out for them, but they are a very talented team, 2 very talented teams going at it tomorrow night. Also, I want to remind you that the Diamond Classic is also right in the thick of things. And today at 2 p.m., so right after I get off the airwaves here, you can catch semifinal action as Portland will play Grand Ledge and East Lansing will take on DeWitt at 5 p.m. So Portland, Grand Ledge at 2 p.m., East Lansing, DeWitt at 5 p.m. Awesome, awesome stuff. Love to see local baseball and softball action back, and love to see the softball classic and Diamond Classic back as well. Two of my favorite events on the high school sporting calendar. All right, Michigan's Hunter Dickinson is going to test the NBA waters, but is it closing the door on a possible return to Ann Arbor? So he's basically just gathering information and then making his decision on whether or not to jump right into the NBA pool or come back. The Big Ten Freshman of the Year announced on Wednesday that he is declaring for the 2021 NBA Draft. He's signing with an NCAA-certified agent that will allow him to maintain his college eligibility. Quote, "It has always been my dream to play in the NBA, so it is important for me to gather information before making this decision." That's a bit of what Dickinson wrote on a post, courtesy of his Twitter page. So we'll see what he does. I have no problem with this. You know, at the end of the day, you got to look out for you, and your dream is to go to the NBA, so I see no problem in gathering information and just going from there to see what scouts, GMs, and coaches have to say about your game, and then go from there. I love it. All right. After Nico Goodrum smacked a double to lead off the 8th inning, Jake Rogers executed a sack bunt to get him the 3rd. Goodrum scored on a sack fly to center by Robbie Grossman. It was all the Detroit Tigers needed in a 1-0 shutout victory over the Cleveland Indians on Wednesday night at Comerica Park. So for fans who attended that game, you didn't see a lot of runs, and the only run you saw was a sack fly. Not very entertaining as far as runs are concerned, but hey, if you like defense, that game was for you last night. Bottom line, though, the Tigers got the win. The Tigers, sitting at 19-30 now, broke a 4-game losing streak overall in a six-game losing streak against the Indians. The Indians now fall to 26-21 on the year. The Tigers last beat the Indians on April 3rd, so this has been a long time coming. The Tigers and Indians wrap up the four-game set at 1:10 p.m. as lefty Matthew Boyd will face Tribe ace Shane Bieber. So we'll see how that one pans out. Again, that game will be getting underway very, very soon as I am on the air. All right, Joe Heath's bid to make the Detroit Lions 53-man roster has sadly come to an early end after he tore his ACL in a freak injury during OTAs. That's according to the NFL Network. Heath was doing bag work at the time of the injury. Now, if Joel Heath, if that name rings a bell, well, for Spartans out there, it should, because he's a former Michigan State defensive tackle who started 24 games for the Spartans from 2013 to 2015. He went undrafted in 2016 before catching on with the Houston Texans, where he appeared in 32 games and earned 16 starts. He has 3 sacks and 34 tackles in his NFL career. He ended up signing with the Denver Broncos last year, but wound up opting out of pandemic football instead. So just really, really tough stuff for Joel Heath. Again, a freak accident. That's how it's being reported. A freak accident during bag work this week. Unfortunate stuff there. Okay, we've got an MSU football transfer news update. Chris Mayfield has picked a new school in his home state. The former Michigan State defensive tackle, he announced on Twitter on Wednesday afternoon that he is transferring to Ohio. Mayfield entered the portal on April 26th. This is a bit of what he had to say, quote, "I am very grateful for all of the friends and memories I made at Michigan State. Also, to be able to learn under a great coaching staff, but after entering the transfer portal and finding out what school is best for me, I have decided to commit to Ohio University. Go Bobcats." Now, Mayfield, who is 6'2", 285, he's a former 3-star recruit from Hilliard Bradley. That's in Ohio. And he signed with Michigan State's 2020 recruiting class, which was the last for former coach Mark D'Antonio before he retired. Michigan State has had 27 players enter the portal since November, including 10 since the end of spring practice. Mayfield is the 20th of the 27th who have already transferred to continue playing or at least named their next school. And if you're reading that and saying, or if you're listening to that and saying, wow, 27, that's a lot of players transferring. Well, it is. But as we all know, I mean, Michigan State isn't the only program that is seeing transfer numbers like this, all right? This is happening across the board in college sports, especially in college football. Mobility is, that's the cup of tea today, right now, when it comes to college athletics. And the transfer portal has really been a game changer, and coaches and coaching staffs are trying to figure this thing out and trying to find out, you know, how can we get into a groove here, you know, and plan for the unexpected. So it's a new world that we're living in, folks. The transfer portal has given more power to the college athlete, and just evaluating how the college athlete doesn't really get much, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of how much money college athletics brings into each university and how much money the NCAA makes off of these young men and women. Hey, whatever power the college athlete gets, milk it dry. And speaking of college athletes and the lack of compensation they have received over time, well, peep this. College athletes would be able to form players' unions and would be considered employees of their schools. That's if a new congressional bill introduced today is passed into law. That's right, the College Athletes' Right to Organize Bill. That's co-authored by Senators Chris Murphy and Bernie Sanders. How about that? Presents a direct challenge to the NCAA's foundational premise of amateurism. Now, it asserts that any college athletes, who are compensated by their school for their athletic ability, whether through a scholarship or other means, should have the right to organize and collectively bargain. A companion bill is also being introduced in the House of Reps. Jamal Bowman, Andy Levin, and Lori Trahan are a part of that. So this could be a major, major game changer, folks. And how about that? Bernie Sanders involved in pushing this bill along. So, yeah, Senate Democrats introducing this bill that would allow college athletes to unionize, and you'll get my further thoughts on that story later on this hour, but I have no problem with that at all. I think you can read the tone of that last headliner and my final thoughts on that to kind of read the tea leaves on what I have to say about that new bill, and I hope it gets passed. All right, Naomi Osaka. I teased this just a few minutes ago, but Naomi Osaka has no plans to speak with reporters during the French Open. The three-time Grand Slam champ announced yesterday that she will not do any media availability. That's right, while competing at Roland Garros, citing mental health concerns for herself and fellow players. Now, Osaka went on to say that she has nothing personal against the French Open and some journalists with whom she has a friendly relationship with, but made a point commenting about organizations threatening to fine athletes if they don't speak to media without considering the mental health side of things. Now, Osaka ended the statement by conceding that she'll face, quote, considerable amount, end quote, in fines for her decision, but hopes that the money will go toward a mental health charity. The 23-year-old Osaka will be attempting to win her first French Open title. I'll have further thoughts on that story in just a moment. I also want to let you guys know that 50 current and former college athletes actually sent a letter to NCAA leadership yesterday, urging the organization to remove its championship events from states that have passed bans against transgender athletes. The athletes who signed the letter identify as transgender and non-binary. They addressed the letter to NCAA President Mark Emmert, Vice President of Inclusion, Education, and Community Engagement Derek Gregg, and the Board of Governors. Quote, deeply disappointed and hurt by the NCAA's choice, end quote. The letter was sent in response to the organization's decision to schedule regional matchups for the NCAA softball tournament in Tennessee, Alabama, and Arkansas, all of which have recently passed laws requiring student athletes to compete in sports according to their birth sex. Now, similar GOP-led legislation has passed in Mississippi, Montana, Idaho, and West Virginia. States across the country, including Florida, Oklahoma, and Kentucky, are considering similar legislation. So, isn't it amazing? I mean, time and time again now, we are seeing college athletes stand up for what they believe is right, letting their voices be heard, and not backing down in the midst of adversity. Pretty remarkable, folks. All right, a quick update concerning scores for Wednesday night's action in the NBA playoffs. Well, the Philadelphia 76ers, with that 120-95 win over the Washington Wizards, they take a 2-0 series lead. The New York Knicks, how about the Knicks, man? I mentioned them earlier. The Knicks with a 101-92 dub over the Atlanta Hawks at Madison Square Garden to tie that series up at one game apiece as the series now shifts to Atlanta. Former Piston Derrick Rose, he was great. 26 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And it's pretty remarkable to see how Derrick Rose has really modified his game as he's now in his early 30s, not the explosive player that he used to be. His injury history has been well documented. But the fact that he is as efficient as he is right now, I mean, I think other players need to take notes, especially those who have had injury-riddled careers. All right, and the Utah Jazz enact a bit of revenge on the Memphis Grizzlies, as the Grizzlies, being an 8 seed, upsetting the Utah Jazz, not just the number one seed in the Western Conference, but they had the best record in all of the league this season. Really stunning game one. Well, Utah responded in game two, and they tie that series up. Utah also got its superstar and Donovan Mitchell back for this game, but a 141-129 final. That series is, again, all knotted up at one game apiece. And in the NHL, I'm going to give you guys a quick recap as to what happened in the NHL playoffs on Wednesday, as the New York Islanders got a win over the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-3, and the Islanders win that series 4-2. The Tampa Bay Lightning shut out the Florida Panthers 4-0, as Tampa Bay wins that series also 4-2. And folks, we've got a game 7 coming with the Minnesota Wild and the Las Vegas Golden Knights, as the Wild beat the Knights, shut them out 3-0. Game 7 coming in that series. That is awesome, awesome stuff. I mean, those are the two greatest words in sports, right? Around playoff time. Game 7. Gotta love it. Gotta love it, folks. All right. That will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's hit our first break. And when we come back, I want to talk about fandom in the world of sports. And I'm going to react to the whole Russell Westbrook popcorn situation. And Naomi Osaka will not be speaking to the media during the French Open this year, citing mental health concerns. Huh. I see where she's coming from, but I got to make a few points there. That and more. You are listening to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back, ladies and gents. I hope everyone is doing well out there. Again, happy Thursday. It is May 27th. And I want to touch upon two topics here that are certainly making headlines everywhere. Two sports stories that broke yesterday. Number one, and I'm going to get to Naomi in just a second, but number one, I want to start with Russell Westbrook, because, I mean, how many times must we watch idiotic fans heckle professional athletes to the point where you know, because I have no problem. Look, I'll say this. Let me rephrase that, because heckling is a part of sports. I have no problem with a fan in the stands who is just talking mad trash to a multi-million dollar athlete out there on the court or the field, as long as you keep it clean, as long as you don't get personal with that athlete, as long as you're not talking about that athlete's, you know, wife, kids, any member of that athlete's family, or as long as you aren't threatening them with violence. Look, everything else is fair game. You know, you are a professional athlete. You get paid millions upon millions of dollars to play a game, for goodness sake. All right, you can deal with a little bit of heckling, especially when these fans are coming to see you play, are paying for those seats. And if you're that close, and if those athletes can hear you, you paid a pretty penny for those seats. And, you know, that's what helps pay your salary. Look, you can deal with a little bit of heckling. But again, when it crosses that line, I'm talking about the fans who cross that line, who get way too personal and who get physical. And some out there, like last night, who actually throw food at athletes. I kid you not, man. I had to do a double take. You know, I was coming back. You know, I took a little break last night and went out and hit some golf balls. And, you know, I'm driving back to my apartment to catch the NBA playoffs. And then all of a sudden I look at my phone at a red light. it was a notification for Bleacher Report, you know, citing a video of an incensed Russell Westbrook after a fan dumped popcorn on him. I kid you not, man. Russell Westbrook, he was heading to the locker room, had an apparent injury, and all of a sudden, as he's walking and being escorted to the locker room, you just see popcorn kernels sprinkle from above his head. And look, I probably would have lost it like him as well. Russ instantly just lost it, man. And, you know, he began to back up and, you know, he said a few words. He's looking up and, you know, look, if there weren't, you know, I believe it was security. If security was not there, Russell Westbrook would have been in the stands and it would have been a Ron Artest Palace at Auburn Hills moment. I really believe that. Right, because that's what you think about, especially when you think of food and or beverage being thrown from the stands. You know, I will never forget, just like many of you out there, you know, being a teenager and watching Ron Artest lay out on the scorer's table and that beverage just come from the stands and whop Ron Artest right in the head, and that's what sparked the malice at the Palace. But I couldn't blame Ron Artest then, and I can't blame Russell Westbrook here for wanting to go up in the stands and give this fan the business. No way should that have went down. And I see here today that the fan who dumped the popcorn on Russell Westbrook, he has been banned indefinitely, you think, from Wells Fargo Center. And this is a fan who actually had season tickets for the Philadelphia 76ers. Had season tickets, and you go ahead and do something like this? I mean, come on, man. So the 76ers announced the punishment for the unidentified fan. I think they should put his face out there. I mean, why not? You do something stupid like this, you deserve to have your face plastered everywhere. But they announced this this punishment after the incident, and this is what the Sixers said in part of their statement. Quote, "We apologize to Russell Westbrook and the Washington Wizards for being subjected to this kind of unacceptable and disrespectful behavior. There is no place for it in our sport or arena." And look, you know, and you want to hear what a bit of what Russell Westbrook had to say afterwards? Well, this is what he had to say. Quote, "To be completely honest, this bleep is getting out of hand, especially for me. The amount of disrespect, the amount of fans just doing whatever the bleep they want to do, it's just out of pocket. There are certain things that cross the line. Any other setting, a guy were to come up on the street and pour popcorn on my head, and you know what happens. In these arenas, you got to start protecting the players. We'll see what the NBA does." His teammate Bradley Beal called the incident disgusting. And Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, he said that the individual should be banned from the league. But yeah, man, you know, it's one of those things you look at and you say to yourself, I mean, what gives you the confidence to do something that bold? I mean, you gotta really be, you know, out of your mind. I'll just say that, in order to do something like that, to dump popcorn on the head of an NBA superstar. It's wild. And, you know, Russ has had other run-ins with fans in the stands. This isn't his first incident. I remember, you know, I want to say maybe 2 years ago. It was back when Isaac Constance was my engineer. I do remember that. And Russell Westbrook had gotten into it with with some fan in the stands who was calling him out of his name, talking about his family. You know, I think it may have been in Utah, something like that. You know, when Russell Westbrook was out there, playing with the Thunder and a Utah fan had said something to him. But this isn't the first time this has happened to Russell Westbrook. Why? I don't know. You know, Russell Westbrook is he's a compelling individual. You know, he is a cutthroat competitor. He's not out there to make friends. You know, I've always said that in terms of mentality, if I had to choose, you know, any player in the league who has that, like, that cutthroat, I want to not just beat you but kill you on the basketball court, you know, competitively wise speaking, who has that mentality, it's Russell Westbrook. You know, that Mamba mentality, that Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan cutthroat mentality is Russell Westbrook. So I don't know, maybe that isn't popular with NBA fans today. I don't know. But again, this isn't the first time that Russell Westbrook has had this kind of problem. But yeah, I think if you're Adam Silver, you have to evaluate. I mean, because it's becoming a pattern now. You have to evaluate how you deal with this. You have to reevaluate how you deal with this, I should say. And I agree with Scott Brooks. Any fan who does something like this doesn't need to have a seat at any NBA arena, let alone the arena in which they conducted this act. But in any NBA forum, period, that fan needs to be banned from the league. And look, I know this isn't the majority of NBA fans out there. Not at all. I know this is a rarity for sure. But rarity. I use that very loosely because I feel like every NBA year we're seeing an incident like this, where an idiotic fan does something stupid like this and we're having a conversation about it. It's ridiculous to me. And I don't know. I think maybe a lot of it has to do with the culture that we live in today, the culture that is social media, where, you know, we have this unprecedented access to our favorite athletes in ways that we never had before back in the day, where you can shoot your favorite athlete a message on social media. You know, you may get a like or a retweet or at the very least that athlete may just see it and say nothing to you. But still, you can tweet at athletes. You can like their pictures. You see what's happening on the regular in their personal lives, depending on the athlete and how open they are on social media. So you feel like you have this personal connection. And sometimes that personal connection that you feel you have with this athlete due to social media can blur lines and make you feel like you can say anything to him. No, man. Wrong. Wrong times 1,000. And as far as, you know, what Adam Silver could do to protect the athlete at the game, I don't know if he can do much. I don't. What are you going to do? I mean, what, put up a barrier? A glass barrier like it's hockey or something around the court? No, you can't take away that personal essence that is NBA basketball and the relationship and the intimacy that fans have with these players because they are so close to the action. That would just take away from the game. I don't know, you know, what you can do other than, again, ban any fan who does this for life from any arena, from any NBA event. That's the kind of action you have to take. All right. Wanted to address that, though, because just annoyed me, man. Just annoyed me because you see that, and then I turned on the New York Knicks and Atlanta Hawks game, and that's the kind of atmosphere that I would kill to be at. If you're going to heckle a player, that's how you do it. New York fans know how to do it, man. You know, and New York fans are a bit ruthless, though, I must say. But it's good to see Knicks fans cheering for their team in the playoffs. We have sorely missed that, without a doubt. And I think they even took a shot at, you know, Trae Young's hair during last night's game. I kid you not, fans actually chanted Trae Young's balding in the fourth quarter of that game last night. And, yeah, the announcers got a chuckle out of it. The fans had some fun with it. And Trae was a good sport. You know, after the game, you know, he looked at the fans and said, hey, we'll see you in the A. We'll see you in the A, because that series now goes back to Atlanta. All right, and I'm going to have to get Deshaun Tate, who covers the Atlanta Hawks. You know, he's also an NCAA basketball hoop junkie. Got to get him on soon, because I want to get his thoughts, especially after game one in the A is said and done between the Hawks and the Knicks, to get his thoughts on the atmosphere and the essence of that series, because it's an intriguing one, folks. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll have thoughts on Naomi Osaka and her decision to not speak to the media during the French Open this year. And also, we have a voicemail from one of our dear listeners, my guy Alex. So we'll close the show with that. You are listening to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, before I proceed, I do want to play a voicemail from one of our dear listeners, my guy Alex, who is a big NBA fan just like myself. Alex is a part of the Current Sports Facebook fam, is what I dub him. pre-pandemic, when we would go live on Facebook during every Current Sports, Alex, along with Ben and Stephanie and Chris and Steven, you know, Austin, just so many would tune in on the reg on Facebook Live, and Alex is one of those people. So he's a part of the Current Sports Facebook fam. But Alex has decided to call in and give his thoughts on the NBA playoffs. Here he is.
Hey, it's Alex from East Lansing one time. For the Facebook family, you guys know who you are. Hey, Al. NBA playoffs, man, Ja Morant, hey, did you watch him last night? I watched him last night. Dude can do anything with the basketball, but they still lost. Let's also talk about the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks got 54 points off of the bench. 54 points off of the bench. Mostly from D-Rose. D-Rose, Julius Randle, they are not playing around. I think that New York Knicks, that could be the possible Eastern Conference winners. They are just, if you can get 54 points off the bench, then you're doing something right.
Alex, my man, thank you for that call. And you know what? Hey, I love the Knicks. And I love this team. You know, they are young and gritty. Shout out to Julius Randle, who is the NBA's most improved player for this year. I feel like, you know, this is a very talented team, but in terms of like coming out of the East, I don't think they can come out the East. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, look, they got some great, great players. I mean, Nerlens Noel, Reggie Bullock, who was great last night. Again, I mentioned, you know, Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, another young stud. And then Derrick Rose. My goodness, Derrick Rose, who was coming off the bench for this team, he played 39 minutes after averaging just, 28 minutes this past regular season. He played 39 minutes last night and had 26 points to lead all scorers for the Knicks. And again, that was coming off the bench, folks. He was the second leading scorer in the game, right below Trae Young, who had 30 for the Hawks. I mean, that's amazing. I love this Knicks team. They have a lot of young talent, but in terms of them competing with the big dogs of the East, I don't think they're going to come out the East. That's wishful thinking. I really, I really hope they will. I mean, my goodness, that'd be amazing to see the Knicks in the NBA Finals. My goodness. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, so good, so talented. You know, that trio of Harden, Durant, and Irving, that's just tough to beat. And then I don't think they're better than Milwaukee either. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks, so good. Giannis Antetokounmpo continuing to show why he is one of the best players in the league. And Milwaukee just giving it to another team that made the NBA Finals just a year ago in the bubble, the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat looks just so confused right now. Milwaukee leads that series 2-0. Love the Knicks, but I just don't think they're better than teams like the Bucks and the Nets. But appreciate you, Alex. Always great hearing from you. Please call in, just like my man Alex does. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call that number and leave us a voicemail. All right? As we come down here in the home stretch of the show with just a couple of minutes left, Naomi Osaka has decided that she will not be speaking to the press during this year's French Open. One of the reasons for her silence is maintaining her mental health and optimism, citing that the media tends to, quote, bring doubt into our minds. She went on to say, quote, I've often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health, and this rings very true whenever I see a press conference or partake in one. We are often sat there and asked questions that we've been asked multiple times before, or asked questions that bring doubt into our minds, and I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me, end quote. Because of time, I'm going to have to expound upon this more on tomorrow's show. And I totally hear where Naomi is coming from. Look, the media can be very harsh, very critical at times. The media, especially the talking heads who have radio shows like me or have TV broadcasts, can sometimes say things that are totally out of pocket and criticize and analyze and just, yeah, bring some negative energy to athletes, without a doubt. But I also say this. This is what comes with the territory, Naomi. This is what being a superstar in your sport is all about. Every superstar has had to answer questions from the media. It's a part of the job. It's in your contract. And if you don't like how a reporter is coming at you, or if you don't like a question or questions that are being asked, then, hey, take it up with that reporter right then and there. Call them out right then and there. But to just avoid the media altogether, I mean, come on. And me being in this business, I truly believe that there are more good media than bad media out there. There are more good journalists than bad journalists out there who aren't trying to attack you and who get paid to get that quote and to put that quote in the story for readers and listeners to listen to and read. It's a part of the job. So I get that mental health is important, without a doubt, totally important. Very, very important. It's essentially important. But at the end of the day, the media isn't the reason, the sole reason why athletes don't have great mental health. It's bigger than that. It's social media and listening to social media. I think, if anything, I think Naomi maybe should like, you know, I don't know, take a break from Instagram. Take a break from Twitter. Or don't read those publications that come out. I know that's easier said than done, but to solely place this on the media and to say, look, I'm not going to answer questions at all, I think that's going a little bit too far. And I'm going to have more on this on tomorrow's Current Sports, because I also want to talk about it from the fan perspective. The relationship between the fan, the player, and how the media helps that relationship. I'll dive into that on the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. But until then, folks, we are out of time. We are on a 23-hour break. I want you all to be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.